each member has an agenda on his desk. Let's start by taking up out of order House Bill 287 relating to domestic violence. It's agreeable with the members. This is a bill that we've.
I just got this back dealing with the.
We have worked on this. I know Senator Parr, Senator Ray, both you gentlemen have given considerable thought and considerable work on this bill. Perhaps we can just take a minute and look through the committee substitute. I'm sorry that this wasn't available to us.
The only changes in the committee substitute from the original bill that was discussed in committee last time was the addition of on page 1, line 19, B7 or B8, which relates to the two additions above. Also, on the next page 2, starting on line 15, a new section has been added on the service of process. And basically, what the section does is say that judicial service officers are the ones who are going to be serving process unless they're unavailable. And it lets the Superior Court, District Court, and Magistrate designate any peace officer to serve it when the process servers are not on duty. And other than that, there have been no changes in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce. Let's.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. There has been two sections deleted in the back, sections 14 and 15, which dealt with the service of process in the original bill.
Let's talk about the service process question. That was one that considerable thought was given to. Is there any objection to members of the committee of the section that I've had put in there? I think it deals fairly with the topic. Process service will be carried out through normal mechanisms unless obviously those mechanisms aren't working, in which case it makes sense then to have a peace officer serve that.
Don't mind me.
And I suspect that a Superior Court judge can do that in any event. I'm looking through this to discuss the points that we discussed previously, and there was no agreement on this. The next one that is apparent is the question of those people who are subject to this law, and the question of a social unit, whatever that might be. Senator Parr?
The point I was going to raise, I thought you might be eager to see this expanded. We just in the Hess Committee Friday took that part out of the bill we're going through, whether we're expanding it again. And whether the original purpose of this act was spouse abuse. And I don't think that the act's only been in effect for less than a year. And I think trying to expand it to other people, second degree of kindred or what it is, bottom page 2, second degree of blood of marriage, etc. Rather wait and see how it's working under the way it started out. The same information appears. Language also appears on page 3, line 16.
Yes.
And several places.
In the Hess Committee version, what language has been used to describe a group of people.
You'll take the part at on the bottom of page 2, Mr. Chairman, is to stop after responding.
Strike all line
29, 28.1. That's the original statute.
I share your
spouse, former spouse, a member of the social unit living in the same dwelling. And that's what it was originally intended to do. It was intended to cover spouses and the business, but the social unit was where a couple living together without being married.
It was intended to cover that.
But it wasn't intended to cover everybody else in some form or fashion related to it.
I have trouble with the one in front of that. A member of the social unit comprises those living together in the same building as the respondent. What if the mother and child have moved to a different place and he commits it then? And what happens? The child.
To whom are you referring your questions?
Not covered at all. Anybody. Not covered at all. They're still living in the same dwelling as he is, and he commits domestic violence against them there. So if the mother, in fear that he is going to get violent, moves and moves it to a different residence, and he commits the violence there, then what happens? They're not living with him. You got so many imponderables there.
Senator Parr.
That would be covered if the person was a spouse or a former spouse.
What about child and the spouse?
Well, I want to say that the testimony I've heard, 98% of it related to spouses or former spouses or a couple living together without, when they weren't married. There is a child abuse law on the books already, of course.
There's also laws in the books against assault against any individual. If they really mean what they're trying to do, why don't they just take them and swear out a complaint and send them to jail if they belong to them?
Both points are well taken. And correct.
What we did, Mr. Chairman, as I saw this thing in the first passage, the laws against assault were on the books. However, they did not work because women were, generally speaking, either unwilling to prosecute or if they filed the charges, they would then not be willing to testify later. And the only way they could get a temporary restraining order at that time was by filing suit for divorce at the same time, which a lot of them were not willing to do. So the thing was, we passed Senate Bill, a House Bill 392, I think it was last year, to do that, to give them to set a big old enclave within the law applying only to spouse abuse and commit getting this restraining order. That was the intent. And Senator Ray is correct. The laws against assault are on the books.
I suppose there is, Mr. Chairman, there is a common sense dictates that perhaps in such sensitive matters as family relations that a lot of times the cooling off period if it's agreeable to both participants in whatever action there is desirable, I suppose. Seems to be, at least that seems to be the general way that the people work out their difficulties a lot of times is with the cooling off period, and I suppose this is the cooling off period we're talking about here.
I think we all understand what the language is attempting to do, and it's attempting to take care of the other 2% of the problem in this area, and it may be that 2% of the problem may be too much for the Senate or the public for that matter to really agree with, and I'm not sure whether we can do it, and I'm not sure whether that the language wouldn't be a detriment to the bill on the floor, and it's obvious what the tone of the committee is. Is there any objection then in the committee substitute to limiting the definition to spouse and former spouse?
How about members? That's an existing statute, isn't it? Page two of the issue, middle of line 28, and stuff.
How about it? How about domestic violence means a crime committed against a member of the immediate family of the respondent? And you could let the judge make a determination whether the grandparents and all the rest of them are all in there.
How would you deal with former spouse under...
fashion language to do the same thing. If it's of his family. I mean, if somebody beats up a little kid, I would think.
You and I both have a strong feelings on that.
I don't know. There's a lot of times that you see what we're doing here is we're trying to make ourselves superior. In mind as to actually what happens between a man and a woman, what the motivation is a lot of times, and you can see it, a 90-pound man, and it'd be look like a Mr. Milquetoast, and in certain circumstances he becomes a macho man, and he's got a 200-pound wife, and the poor little wife suffers all these terrible things that happen to her. If it's physical, I mean, a lot of times occurrences in marriages are much more obvious to us as outsiders than it is to the participants that are battling among themselves. And whatever motivates them to do these things, a lot of times we would put the blame on one person when it easily could be a shared blame, or the blame was entirely in a different direction. Of course, I suppose that's what the judges are for. I don't know. Nobody says what there's no denying the evidence of your eyes. If a woman comes up with a big fat black eye, it's obviously somebody hit her in the eye. If she says that somebody hit her in the eye. Maybe the man has got some bruises on him too that he doesn't like to admit to. They were inflicted first and foremost before the others were. I don't know how you...
Jesus. Well, with that rambling discourse in the radio, this is for traditional language.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready to propose amendments?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
Working from this past year?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to move it on page 1, line 23.
Page 1, line 23.
And that we strike the words health, safety, or welfare of the.
The what?
And then insert on lines 25 the words from domestic violence. So in context of the read, extension of the provision of the orders necessary for protection of the petitioner or the minor child in the care of the petitioner from domestic violence.
Okay, that's on page one. That would
from domestic violence is the way it was in the original statute, obviously, and that's what the intent was. I'm not sure we can set health, safety, or welfare for a lot of subjects.
Is anyone present familiar with the reason for that language being included in the house draft?
Probably sounded good to somebody.
I can't remember.
Someone else?
Is that an original house, Jack, Charlie?
Well, I'll go back and look. This is the address. It's the original house.
I was lazy. I knew you had it in front of your committee. I was lazy.
No, it didn't come through. It didn't come through the house.
It didn't go through the house?
The thing is, Mr. Chairman, I'm thinking that, you know, I can see, I'll give you a far-fetched example that he smokes and she doesn't. So she says that the protection of her health, she wants a restraining order to keep me away from her. Far-fetched, perhaps, but there it is. Health is a lot. Whereas the original bill was quite explicit. The original bill was quite explicit. It was to protect a person from domestic violence. And that's what I'm trying to return it to.
Perhaps Mr. Roddy can help us. Jan, the language on page 1, lines, starting on lines 23, where it talks about the health, safety, or welfare of the petitioner or of a minor child of the petitioner. Senator Parr has proposed that the language be, in essence, that they be protected from domestic violence, substituting that for the words health, safety, and welfare, or welfare, because of the vague nature of those terms.
I cannot remember having that particular phrase discussed in the hearings. So those were Representative Clarkson's words, and I don't remember hearing any discussion of why he particularly chose those words.
Agree.
It just seems to me that somebody just pulled that out of the air and thought it sounded good.
Would you prefer Senator Parr's proposed language?
Well, if we're trying to protect the petitioner from domestic violence, and domestic violence appears to be physical assault, I suppose you would say that would be against a person's welfare.
It may have been. Excuse me. And the intent of that may have been to also protect the person from verbal abuse and harassment. There may have been some intention there. Because I know at the shelters, they have sought to have restraining orders placed upon some of the spouses who have, although not physically assaulted or attempted to physically assault, have harassed the individual within the shelter or within their home or apartment. Telephone.
That's covered under the restraining order. But that's covered under the restraining order already. Telephone.
I would imagine that'd be covered under Section 1, whether we've met the.
Should I read it in context again?
Yes.
Let me read it in context, Senator. Line 22. An extension of the provision of the order is necessary for protection of the petitioner or the minor child in the care of the petitioner from domestic violence. Superior Court.
That don't sound too bad. Don't sound too bad. Does that sound too bad to you, ladies? Yeah, that's all right.
There's no objection to the amendment, then the amendment will.
I have a question in Section 1 here. This new 7 is direct a respondent to engage in personal or family counseling. Who's going to direct him? The court?
Yes.
And if he doesn't, what happens then? Goes to jail?
In violation of court order?
Violation of restraining order.
Yes, be contempt of court, John.
Mr. Chairman, just to get it on in front of us, I'll move bottom page 2 to the period after the word respondent on line 28, strike the rest. Every place it appears in the bill.
What's 1141?
Is that the
it's assault.
Assault part of a criminal code?
Yes, assaultive behavior.
Senator Forrest moved his amendment to strike the language saying all persons related within the second degree of blood or marriage to the respondent.
And who is the second degree again?
It wouldn't make a difference because Senator Forrest striking that language from the bill.
If I don't agree with it, it'll remain in there, wouldn't it?
Pardon?
Possibly, if I didn't agree with it, it would remain in there. So I'm trying to figure out who the second degree is again.
If it was struck, it wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah,
not that you didn't make any difference, Senator Ray.
No, but I want to know whether I want to strike it with him. Is that the aunt and uncle and grandparents and grandmother?
Yes.
Yeah. There was sanguinity, consanguinity chart there?
Yeah, this is kind of a paternalist chart.
It's too far away.
That's a good ground's anchorage is too far away, too here.
No, I mean, it's too far away. Great uncle and all that. Great aunt, great uncle. That's pretty far away.
Grandparents and children.
Grandparents would be all right. I mean, I can agree with that because that's the one you usually leave the child with, the minor child or the grandparent, and then somebody come and harass her or beat on her, she should be covered in.
How in the rural communities? Apparently, many of the caring person is an aunt, and you call the grandmother, by blood, it's really an aunt.
Excuse me, Senator Ray, that chart shows third degree of consanguinity and not just second. So third degree is great aunt, great aunt, uncle.
Second degree would be grandmother, grandfather, aunts, and uncles. Okay, Senator Parr, you're proposing that second degree of blood be deleted, Senator Ray. You're opposing.
Yes.
You're opposing.
I don't remember the social trying to those. You change that to who have been living together in the same dwelling as the respondent. That might be better.
And you mean and delete the second degree?
Yeah.
And then change social units? Yes.
A member of the social unit comprised of those who have been living together in the same dwelling as the respondent. That might take care of the minor child and the rest of it.
What do you mean, who had been there any longer?
Well, when they get the court order.
The way it read under my amendment, it would still include a grandmother or a child that's part of the same social unit, which is another family. And it wouldn't include them in some different part of town, I guess.
Well, that's the whole thing, Charlie. Most of the time, it takes if it was my daughter or my son, they're having a problem, and we live quite a ways away, and I wouldn't want somebody coming over there and. I'd feel sorry for them. They'd have to get the restraining order.
Well, I guess the only real question is, nobody's in favor of people beating up on grandparents. But on the other hand, you can have a small statute. It's not long ago. And this was carved out, treated specially, apart from everything else in the assault statutes, really in the intent of protecting spouses. And I suppose you can go to court now and get a restraining order against anybody injured in some way, anybody who wants to come and give you trouble? There's no domestic relationship, can't you get a restraining order?
And as a matter of general, that's true.
Well, the original problem of this was they couldn't get a woman to get a restraining order against a husband unless she also filed for divorce, which is why we changed the thing.
Senator Parr's point is well taken in this regard. We're talking about someone separated apart from the domestic household, and extending the law to cover that situation.
It's a dissenting vote, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ray, I'm recalling some of the great speeches of Senator John Rader.
I know.
I will oppose the amendment this time, and I will talk with Mr. Clarkson, and I would rather leave that in, and I understand the reasons for it being there. I also understand that Senator Parr's concerns about that. The amendment then fails.
How about a member of the social unit comprised of those who have been living together in the same dwelling as the respondent?
Get your amendment or suggestion.
Suggested amendment.
Would you read that again?
A member of the social unit comprised of those who had been living together in the same dwelling as the respondent.
Are you intimating that would protect the grandparents?
Could, under certain circumstances, it could protect a third party who was a friend of perhaps either the mother or the father who was living there, and somebody would decide to take it out on them because they had association with them. That's what you're really trying to do, and it would protect the child, which you don't do now. This is a thought, I don't know. Would you ladies object to that?
Are you saying in place of the words or a person related within the second degree? Or
no,
are you
that's
saying in addition to it?
Just in addition to what's already there.
I have no objections.
My understanding was you were...
I'm not going to eliminate that, no.
Okay, you weren't offering that as to eliminate.
No.
To replace that, okay.
No. Just add the words, who have been living together in the same dwelling, on line 27.
They're living together, or previously living together?
Previously, whatever. You can fashion it any way you want. I think that'll cover a multitude.
I also think it'll cover.
It'll cover the child.
It'll cover the child, and obviously it'll cover the wife, and will obviate the need for the language that we just talked about. Senator Parr, in your absence, we discussed on line 27 adding the words or previously it would read associated comprised of those people living together or previously living together. Which would take care of the eventuality that a person who was a member of the family moved away to escape domestic violence.
And then he's going to rescind his action and vote for your amendment.
Well, we've got to be clear all the way through all the places this definition occurs and this usage occurs, Mr. Chairman. I assume it would, like on page 3 of
yes.
The definition.
Do you see any problem with that?
No. If the person, woman, moves away to a different place and has a child with her or whatever, and follows her and harasses her, right?
Fine. So in order the child moves away with the grandmother, and Senator Ray's a grandfather, I'm sure he's very sensitive in this point.
I'll imagine.
They wouldn't have to worry about it. The courts wouldn't have to worry about it if the guy beat up on my grandkids. That have me up there for something. That's him.
Senator Ray has a strong faith in the English, old English doctrine of self-help.
Mr. Chairman, I have no problem with it.
The helping hand you're often looking for can be found at the end of your own arm.
I would move that amendment. Is there any objection to that amendment? If there's no objection to the amendment is adopted, I would then move that we delete all language after the word respondent on line 28.
But you're putting this in every place it appears, right?
Yes. Every place that definition appears.
You're also deleting every, Mr. Chairman, deleting or a person related within the second degree every place it appears?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any objection to my amendment to delete that phrase after on line 28 and wherever else it appears in the bill? If there's no amendment, that amendment is also adopted. Continue on.
I have one more point. I don't know, I'm not necessarily proposing an amendment, but I don't know if the question's arisen, but when the original bill was being worked on, set up this whole thing, we had a lot of testimony from the troopers and from police officers that this is a very volatile situation. One the police officers like to avoid if they can, because it really gets in trouble. And they thought it was pretty unrealistic for the peace officer to be standing there reading somebody, some victim, her rights. Maybe he's got a guy handcuffed and hold on the handcuffs in one hand while he holds a piece of paper in the other hand and reads it. I'm serious. This was Commissioner Nixon, some of the other people that were involved in this thing. And so what was finally settled on in page 4, line 10, was this to be done orally. But if it wasn't, you know, feasible, he could hand it, he had this pre-printed list of rights he could hand the person, right? That was the reason for that. Now here it's been changed to orally and in writing. As I'm not proposing an amendment, I don't know if there's been some different testimonies from public safety or whoever since that time, but we were certainly told that the original idea of standing reading the rights was a pretty unrealistic thing. Maybe got a guy handcuffed and you're hanging on to him, trying to get him out of the car, and you guys are standing there reading his rights. So it might make more sense to leave it like it was with R rather than him.
Jenna?
Mr. Chairman, it was testified in the House, both in House Committee and in Judiciary, that the police have no problem whatsoever in dealing with the oral part of the presentation to the victim, and that they also felt that the victim oftentimes couldn't remember what they said. A lot of times she couldn't remember that there was a shelter or what the shelter number was, and all they had to do then is reach inside their pocket, hand them the name of the shelter with the phone number or the name of the crisis center. And the peace officers had no problem whatsoever with that addition.
Well, they've changed the story 180 degrees in 3 years' time, I can guarantee
you. Yellow taxi.
Well, they've had a lot more experience, too.
Big yellow taxi.
Well, they've experienced domestic violence for a long time.
Well,
that was their story, and they testified in the last year.
Are we finished with that one particular thing? I got another thing over here for you.
Yeah. Senator Clark, have you proposed an amendment to that section?
No, I'm not proposing an amendment. If the Commissioner of Public Safety has changed his mind, in a year's time, he says they can do it now, that's their business.
We'll pursue that point. Senator Ray?
Page 5. And obviously the definition, it says peace officer means a public servant. Why are we saying public servant? Peace officer is a public officer vested by law with a duty to maintain public order to make arrests, period. When they say whether the duty extends to all offenses or is limited to a specific class of offenses or offenders, then you can have a liquor agent going down in the serving process, not?
The reference there, and my understanding, is to village programs where you have people with only partial authority, and they are the only effective means until a trooper arrives on the scene.
You're talking about a constable.
Village public safety officers. Plus
they have all the police powers.
They're going to make arrests, that's all that's necessary, and keep order.
Their buildings, as I recall, are limited by statute. I'll have to have Mr. Bruce take a look at it.
I have to check that because it sounds funny of a public servant.
I read that twice myself, and it occurred to me what. But my recollection is that the village officers have limited authority.
Would you have a look at that one definition there? Because there are some people who are limited and have peace officer powers, but those powers are limited. A ABC investigator, he's got peace officer powers, but he don't carry a gun or anything else.
Didn't you carry a gun?
Maybe I still do.
I withdraw that question then.
Okay. Do you like a demonstration?
It's contrary to the laws of the borough of Juneau to discharge a fire a quarter mile of the road, a quarter of a mile of the road.
Not if you're a peace officer. With no restrictions.
In the line of duty.
With no restrictions.
I appreciate the senator's good humor. And I've been waiting for it.
It's been a long time coming.
8 years.
Could I move that we have this worked up into some kind of form so we can take a look at it on Wednesday?
Is there any objection to that, Senator Parr? Some language changes to be made. It appears we will be here for another week or so.
We'll be here for Wednesday anyway.
Yeah, we'll be here long enough for this to get in this committee to rule to the floor.
Yeah.
And then some, perhaps. If you could, Mr. Bruce, if you could take care of that consent, too. Let next, I'd like to take up House Bill 156 relating to legislative contracts. John, is that that got in?
Representative Miller wanted to testify, and yeah. I can give. Kevin, can you call
it?
Sure, we're going to call it.
4964.
Fine.
We're going to go
49. I know for the members of the committee, as chairman of the Legislative Reform Committee, I suspect there are a number of things that have been left wanting by the joint session, so this bill might be a vehicle to provide the opportunity for the House to vote on some of those proposals.
Is that a piggy or is that an hog?
Just piggybacking with the halo.
Oh. I wonder how they would like that. While we're waiting, we're going to pick up the new anchor.
That's a good. John? Don't dash off. We Representative Miller should be here in a minute. As a matter of courtesy, give him first call on that. We might take up our old friend Senate Bill 49. Hold 156 on the desk to Representative Miller. That's here.
Passing, I read you. Every time I read your letter, I get more incensed with it.
Can you tell us what to avoid next time?
so many arguments on the other side is if you limit the fisheries is a limited entry is a conservation measure, and you only are to allow optimum through a permit system, then that optimum would mean 1,000 or whatever the arbitrary figure is, 1,000, and then the fishers will take 1,000 people fishing in it. But what you're saying is, well, really it'll only take 500, although there are 1,000 permits issued. But if it will really only take 500, then you're not really the expert in the limited entry. The fish and game people say it'll stand 1,000 permits, or whatever the number is. See, that's where your argument falls off the deep end. Saying if you don't use it, then that helps everybody.
Economically, it helps the other people. Less division of the pond.
It also has a bearing in relationship with it.
Representative Bill, we're discussing another day.
It could,
I'm waiting for you.
It could cause inflated prices because of there isn't enough fish caught.
I'd like to turn the committee's attention to House Bill 156, an act relating to legislative contracts. Representative Miller, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Senator. I'm a little bit lost. I don't know how you want to proceed on this. There is no real summary on it. It's just a series of restrictions or permissions, however you want to do it. You almost have to just go over it line by line. Basically, what we're trying to do is put parameters on the awards of legislative contracts, and at the same time, trying not to stymie ourselves so deep in red tape that we can't get any legislative contracts out. And I think we arrived at a bill at least satisfied a good number of, I think, both parties in the Senate, in the House. The first section deals with contracts for services provided to legislative agencies. As it says on there, there cannot be more than $5,000 in any 1 month period, I mean any 1 year period or 12 month period, that exceeds $5,000 for any individual. The idea of that is to keep a series of small contracts from being awarded that would actually end up being a huge contract, except it would be partialed out in small bites. And so this says an individual can't get more than $5,000 a year unless he goes through the proper hoops, the notification and the request for proposals and stuff like that. If he does that, of course, there's no limit on the individual. We also exclude contract for construction, repair, and maintenance of a structure that does not exceed $5,000, just because this building and various others just from time to time need repair, that we don't want every single relatively small construction job to have to go out for bid.
Skip two, Mike. You skip two. What is two?
Yeah, members of the committee, please feel free to interrupt if there are questions.
Yeah. Okay. As I say, it's just a little. The only way to really explain the bill is just almost just to read it, which I, you guys.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
read it faster than I do. But
well, number two is, I think, is simply that if a committee chairman is going to, instead of hiring somebody by the month to just contract with them, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you said skip two. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
No.
I thought you were on the.
No, I say you did skip.
Oh, I did. Okay, I didn't. I was just trying to get some highlights on the 5,000 for the. Yeah, if this is for employment contracts. For instance, the House, I believe, has an employment contract with the director of the House Research Division. He's not an employee of the legislature since he's not working for both both houses. So instead, there's a written contract that, in effect, puts him under the same conditions as if he was an employee. Well, obviously, under those circumstances, he would make more than $5,000. In a 12-month period, so that exclusion is in there. And of course, he does have to have a written justification signed by the person responsible for awarding the contract, and that has to be filed with the Legislative Affairs Agency. This is if the person is just like an employee, only happens to have a contract instead. And then bid three briefly, going on down to four. The contract is based on competitive bids obtained under competitive bid procedure provided in AS 37, or the services be provided by an agency or department. Obviously, if our own agency is going to do something, they shouldn't have to jump through all the hoops that, that we put out for proposals.
Just the competitive bid procedure then is the is used for all for extraction, repair, and maintenance.
I'm sorry, say again.
You're saying the competitive bid is used for all contracts of construction, repair, and maintenance.
Over $5,000, it would have to be. Yeah, under $5,000. See, this is.
Let me point out.
O1O is the exclusion.
Let me point out two problems we have, and there may be two specialized areas. One of them happens to be this building, and the other is the governor's mansion, both which are. Having been a builder, I've talked with the people at the governor's mansion. They have some very serious problems and are at a loss to correct them. And have had some rather unfortunate experiences with that proposal. In fact, I.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a sole source exclusion over on page two. It could be shown that because of the person's expertise in dealing with older buildings or restorations or that sort of thing, like he was going to in the mansion. It would take a committee, a vote of the particular committee that has jurisdiction over that.
Let me ask a question of Senator Ray. Obviously, this would cover the Capitol building here. However, the mansion is a different. Would not necessarily be covered in this bill if we were to write something to allow for restoration commission. I'll tell you that. Permit me to depart a little bit.
I don't know what the. I'm trying to figure out some reason why by the legislature would be concerned in giving contracts out for the mansion, which comes under general government category in the administration budget. Why would we be giving out any contracts?
I think Senator Ray's correct there. We would expect
it. I don't know. There might be some reason, but I don't think of any right now.
In fact, even on this building, it wouldn't necessarily be the legislature. Sometimes it might be, but other times, for normal, on this building,
comes under
this only applies to legislative contracts.
It's been suggested by some people in the administration that it should include only the mansion because it is on the National Historical Register, and does require procedures much like the Capitol building because of its historic nature and the security. I think everybody would agree that isn't for normal rounds of mill work that isn't necessary for normal projects. However, for these two buildings and perhaps the only ones in the state.
In other words, if we as the legislature wanted to do something to enhance the mansion.
We would provide the money for that, I'm sure. I would never interfere with the governor's handling of the matter. However, by law, the governor can't handle the matter now. It has to go through formal bid procedures. And the question is one of the single subject rule, whether. Any amendment related to that would be proper in this bill.
Senator, I don't think we'd even have to incorporate it. Our committee, State Affairs Committee, is looking in now to administrative contracting, and we kind of run out of time and probably passing that bill over to you next year. But our investigation has shown that they have much wider latitude than would be permissible under this, and in fact, it's way too wide. It should be clamped down. And we're in the process of having legislation suggested to the body and then to the Senate that we do clamp down. But right now, they can single source almost any of that and do frequently. And in the case of the mansion, I think it would probably be very much justified. There's other times.
In many instances, I, as a point of information for the chair, I appreciate that. I don't want to continue with your general explanation of the bill.
Okay. Mr. Halen's down here has been very active in the discussion, as well, having stand by and correct any. It just does, of course, call for requests for proposals on any significant jobs. Proposals would have to be from at least six firms. If the job is in excess of $100,000, if the expertise is widely available and proposals would be solicited from at least three firms, if it's less than $100,000, if the expertise is widely available. And formal advertising in the medium, which will reasonably be important. Okay.
Yes, that agrees.
Six firms is a lot of firms to ask for bids. You might have two firms in Alaska, and that's the only two firms, and then what do you do?
Well, in that case, you wouldn't say the expertise is widely available, but I agree with you, six is a lot. As far as I was concerned, it could have been four and two, just as easily, instead of three and six and four. I mean, six and three. But, it's just, when you set amounts, you just have to draw the line someplace, and the majority thought it was six and three, but, if you wanted to lower that, it sure wouldn't be any harder.
Mr. Hale?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the final item that section takes care of there, where if you cannot reach that numerical goal, you can substitute it with advertising.
Yeah.
And
okay. There's going to be a lot of cases, and there'll be a lot more than six, and so for that reason, too, you want to get widest possible exposure you do on the ad.
Well, I didn't, Mr. Chairman, all I did was a cop-out. That's your big, that's your loophole where you could drive 15 trucks, Brown.
Well, not really, because right now there's neither the mail out to the six firms nor the advertising requirement. It's just whatever anybody kind of has a hunch they'd like to do. So I think the...
if you're going to hang with the six and three, you're putting that in, and then everybody will just advertise and they won't bother with the six and three.
Well,
really.
Maybe so. I think a lot of cases it'll be just as easy to go for the job
that's fairly wide. Why don't we just say bid shall be advertised, formal advertising in a medium and let that take care of rather than go six or three, because that just gives a cause, according to free, a cosmetic approach. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Why don't we just say, What does the Department of Administration, they got a bid. They don't solicit bids. I mean, they don't contact people and say, will you please bid on this?
Yeah, they do. They keep a roster of consultants and contractors and various types of people. And when a job comes along that's sort of specialized, they'll send out a mailing to the people on that roster that would... that would be like a prospect. Then they may advertise in addition to that, too.
Well, what if they only got two guys on there?
If they've only got two, then they probably would have to just advertise under the terms here.
So I'm saying, why don't we just advertise, and I think that would eliminate a lot of the... If we're going to advertise, that should be good enough for anybody if you make a formal advertisement. If there's somebody that you particularly want to bring your attention to, you're going to, as a committee chairman, you're going to send them a letter anyway and say, hey, this is coming up. We'd like to see if you got something to do on it. But I mean, this is for the general public or the general attitude is just formal advertising.
I guess maybe I'm a little prejudiced because I never read legal ads, as I suppose some people do. But of course, I'm not in the business of trying to get jobs from the legislature either. But the proposals were like targeting with six possible. Contractors, you at least know you're going to get your message to at least six. Or you put the ad in the paper, you assume, you just assume 2,000 people are going to read the General Empire, but you don't know how many of those 2,000 are really interested in that particular job. This way, you've got the flexibility on a job that, if it's a construction job, advertising is probably by far the best because that's the way a lot of construction jobs are led. If it's a specialized thing, calling for somebody with particular expertise in oil, for instance, or in a contractual job like that, then you're probably better off targeting at least six firms and asking proposals from them.
What you should do is put in there proposals from League of Women Voters, CREE, and any other public interest group, AGPIRN, let them send you the list.
Sounds like a winner to me.
Then we wouldn't have to worry.
You want to leave out the university?
Do it that way.
will allow you to make that motion on the floor, Senator.
No, I don't think so.
Whatever. Whatever. Senator Parr?
I have a question on page 3 when we get there.
Okay.
Just going through, there is a sort of a standard sole source fund right there on in the middle of page 2. And special language here for the ombudsman, because some of what he has to do is confidential. So if it comes under 2455-100, it's covered under the terms of the Ombudsman Act. So we say that the request for proposals need not be extended if the contract is to the office of the ombudsman for an investigation, which of course requires confidentiality. Then,
sounds good.
I guess perhaps I can answer the Senator's question on page
2. Senator Parr, you know, Mr. Chairman, I'm sure you all remember the famous book called Animal Farm, and it said, you know, all animals are equal, except some are more equal than others. And we theoretically have all committees are equal, right, in the legislature, but if we are read toward the bottom of page 2, line 26 on, and then the next full section on page 3, it looks like we're turning it around. If it's, you know, the Budget and Audit Committee or Legislative Council can approve agency requests, but then you get down to the rest of the committees, apparently they've got to have theirs approved by a staff agency, or by more than one staff agency. I guess I kind of have a little reluctance to do that. I think if I'm the chairman of the committee, and my committee has voted by majority vote to approve a contract, I don't need approval of some member of the staff. And we got it exactly backwards there, then you have in the preceding section, the bottom page 2 and top page 3. See what I'm talking about, Mr. Moore?
Yeah.
You've got that the legislative affairs agency contracts are approved by the council, which is a committee. Legislative finance is approved by budget audit, which is a committee. You know, the next section says award a contract. If the House committee give a contract, we go back and we have the staff agencies approving us, which, you know, doesn't seem to be quite right.
Mr. Hill can correct me on this, but I think this is, when we say if a contract is made by a legislative committee, I think that includes both legislative affairs agency and the...
what you're saying there, Mr. Miller, is that legislative finance division does it. No. They get approved by legislative budget and audit committee, which then is the committee falling under the next section. He has to have it approved by the director of legislative affairs agency.
I think this is for form and for...
And that's what we should put that language in, be approved as to form. That's all we're looking at.
It says approved as to form by legislative legal counsel, which I have no problem with. But anyway, it says in the line 8 there, for example, approved by the executive director of legislative affairs agency and director of legislative finance division or legislative audit division. Now, they don't need to approve my contracts. It's form, it's a good story. But if my committee by majority vote said we're going to contract for $20,000 to do something,
the only person
who disapproved that is the chairman of the legislative council. That's not the chairman of the legislative council, the majority vote. No way else.
Yeah, the executive director was the director of legislative finance, and then his business. Who's he?
We could put in there for form. This, my memory is that we were strictly talking about form, so that that we,
good point.
Well, all the contracts would be, in the same language and with the same structure and everything like that.
Well, I have no quarrel with that. The contract should be in proper legal form, and you just have to make sure it's not a contract with more money than you've got. Those things. So I have no trouble with that. But approval is something else.
You get veto. By Mert Charney, Jay Hogan, and Jerry Wilkerson. All three of them got a veto power out of, over the legislative committee.
But it's at 4. It's not all three, it's 1 and 5.
Trail?
They're just the chief administrative officer, so he just wanted to. But if you want to perform, that's fine. I mean, that's all we're talking about. So I think it's probably a good idea.
If there's no objection, I'll ask Mr. Bruce change the language to ensure that it's clear that the approval is for form only, and the substantive approval is to be made by the Legislative Council.
Back on page 2, Mr. Chairman, I'm not satisfied with the language that's on line 23 and 24. The proposal should be designed to demonstrate to legislative committees and staff who will review the proposal that the proposed research project represents a sound approach to the investigation of an important public policy question. That might not be what you want the contract for. Might not be a public policy at all. It might be a distinct district proposal. It wouldn't have public appeal at all.
Well, I think the Constitution requires everything be for public policy.
Well,
and anything that would be legal under the Constitution would certainly be legal here.
Somebody's going to use that, and somebody with one of these ad hoc committees that run around, public committees, are going to use that on you, and then they're going to, the press will bring it up. Public policy, what's public policy about this? And your voice won't be heard, but theirs will.
Well, it seems to me, we have a requirement that any legislation be for a public policy, for a public purpose.
Well, Mike, I'm not getting any argument with you. I understand what public policy means, and so do you. But I mean, a lot of other people put a different concept or a different color on what public policy means.
Actually,
I understand what you said.
The question, the word important may well be as much of a detriment, because on occasion, for a variety of reasons, you find committees dealing with smaller and perhaps less important.
I think
Senator Ray, your Blue Ribbon, Commission deals with some very small matters in the personnel system, but they're important to some people and not important to others.
Maybe you understand what I'm saying. I think we're putting up a red flag where there's no need to do it.
I think what we were trying to do, and perhaps you want to suggest your own language to do it, is that we were trying to avoid what we have seen in the past from time to time, is some faced up, so-called research that really just represents a little bit of scissors and paste on somebody's part, and that they haven't, it hasn't been, sound research. It hasn't represented a sound approach to an investigation.
No problem with sound approach. It's fine. I know, it's just those four words, important public policy question.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I think if we could say the same thing only in a different context, we'd be fine.
Yeah. Well, you could even take them out for that matter, because the Constitution says we've got to do that.
The Constitution says it, but I don't want to.
Everyone realizes what we're obligated to do. Senator Parr?
Mr. Chairman, on that subject, you see, we ought to just take it out entirely. Just talk about should. No, that's wishful thinking. That's a pious wish. No, we ought to either take it out or rewrite it. Because, this is with a statute. Statutes don't say you try not to talk about should do so and so, should be self-contained, should be designed. We need to rewrite it if we want to keep it.
Charlie, could I tell you how that should be is in there? We have a new breed in legislative affairs, or it's a new terminology that they're going to start using. And I can remember back 10 years ago when I mentioned should to legislative affairs, and they said, go learn something. There's nothing, just like you said, that should means nothing. But now it's the way that I've noticed several bills that have that should be in them. And I took a time to ask somebody, said, well, that's the new legislative manual of legislative drafting. Those people work for the legislature, and if I want the word shall in there, I'll put it in there, and they better leave it in there.
But all of C is is so vague that I'm not sure it offers any real guidance to anybody. Just as things should be, the proposal should be self-contained and written with care and thoroughness. I hope.
Well, this is just directions to the contractor, telling what he should be doing.
The contractor isn't doing it. I suspect we shouldn't be contracting.
We shouldn't be contracting.
Senator Barr,
if you. What it might say, I don't think this is necessarily the best answer, but something like this: a proposal shall not be accepted unless it demonstrates, you know, that represents a sound approach. And so, and you've got a shall in there, which is what should be in a statute.
If you have a negative approach, you have to put it in positive.
Well, anyway, my point is that then you've got the
shall be
mandatory.
The
should belong in a purpose section of the bill.
Senator Ray, your Dale Carnegie approach?
Yeah, well, you have to say it shall be accepted if, or so and so.
Only
if, or whatever.
No, that might be all right too, but at least if that's what you mean, something like that.
No, your idea is beneficial.
Yeah, that'd be consistent with that.
Doesn't mean anything anyway.
Other questions?
There should be one other new subsection. E. No contract originating from another member shall be piggybacked onto the contract. Maybe that isn't a good idea. Okay. I just thought I'd mention it. Unless by a two-thirds vote of both houses. No, unless a two-thirds vote of the director of legislative affairs, finance, and budget modest.
And all other members living in
the house. Within 30 miles of the Capitol. Okay.
Long day, huh?
That's a long day. God,
okay, the other, what I'd like to do is have each member take a look at it. We're obviously not going to pass it out today. I'll have Mr. Bruce prepare some language. What is the pleasure of the committee with regard to Section C that we discussed at some length about the proposal?
I've got a rewriting here which Mr. Bruce can have to look at. I don't want to keep it at all, Mr. Chairman.
I'm not sure I want to keep it at all.
I'll just read it the way I'm trying to do it.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense.
A proposal shall be accepted only if it represents a sound approach to the investigation of an important public policy question, period. The proposal shall be self-contained and written with care and thoroughness.
We can change the report from Senator Ray's objecting to as a public policy question. That's not a matter. I didn't have to hear that. But if you want to keep it at all, something like that.
You might just substitute line and say a legislative concern in the place of the required constitutional approval, which is implicit, hopefully, in everything we do.
Mr. Bruce, you'll take care of that.
Are there any other questions for Representative Miller? If not, very much. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Miller, if you could have your aide provide me with the contracting work that's been done with regard specifically to the mansion. I have talked with the people from the governor's mansion regarding their some of the work that they need to be done.
Mm-hmm. Right now, we're working on an administrative contracting bill.
But
what we're
referring to some of the research that you've done with regard to sole source contracts.
Yeah, I'll
have to
summarize what we've done on that.
Thank you.
I think we only have enough time to take up 266.
That was, I might note, Senator Ray, that I'm wondering why you haven't found the money for a paint job at the governor's mansion. You made yourself famous many years ago with a starving white paint job in the federal court building, which you subsequently tore down.
He didn't ask for it.
Senate Bill 266, Senator Ray?
Yeah.
You,
we have a committee substitute. Don't you?
Yes.
You have to be explicit with it in a package.
No, it's not in the package. At least it's not in my package. It would be the first time. Senator Ray and Mr. Bruce.
Reverend Bruce and I are taking care of this.
Well. All of us have to share one copy?
Yeah.
Senator Ray and I can share this one since he wrote it on a tree. We said it verbatim.
That's not it.
That isn't it.
All right. you can use that. You can use that, Matt. Personal.
In my basket downstairs, apparently there's something there.
Personal.
Okay, you have some amendments to make, Senator Ray? Senator Parr, do you have the committee substitute?
This is not the...
The final committee substitute.
The final committee substitute just inserts the word personal on line 12 before the between of and pronoun.
Right. Senator Ray discussed that with me. And then on line 19 as well?
Well, we didn't put it in there because the... a personal pronoun, if you're donating masculine and feminine gender anyway, so it would be sort of a
redundant. I see. Senator Ray was hoping to get a word, so.
You know, that would these places?
No, it would go in either place.
Okay. No. I don't agree with it.
With whom are you arguing, sir?
You, him,
Senator Parr.
Whether or not to conflict within the bill, I wonder if we could take out the port on line 14, please, and singular number. Because that runs into conflict with the line 19 below.
No. I'll tell you why, Chair. I asked the advisor what that means. And he gave me three separate and distinct readings.
Okay, then, Mr. Chairman, I wonder if that's the case in what, instead of the word eliminate on line 19, as to, you think there's a word avoid. In the case, you see what we said in second right. One of the bill, line 14, is that we said you've got to go to third person singular number.
You have to. Very good, Chairman.
The word is good from here.
If you can't do it, you can't do it.
But then, down below, that's it.
Do you have any objection to that as part of your substitute, Senator Ray?
No.
Then in line 20 would be the same change.
Yes. My apologies for not guessing.
We said that in our committee substitute. I just thought you'd like to know. Back part, this is different than me.
Will the real committee substitute please step forward?
No. Which we usually avoid it up here, but we didn't do it down here. We'll have to do it here and here. We use the word avoid. We didn't follow through. Remember, we had avoided up here, and I forgot to put them down here.
Why didn't you?
Eliminate. Your aide de camp is hard of hearing. He only hears one thing at a time, and that's why I told him one time up here, and he forgot the other two.
It's your chairman of the subcommittee, Senator Ray.
Yes, sir.
Does Senator Parr, you have considerable expertise in this area. And we've been through this a number of times. Does this committee substitute meet with your approval?
Yes. Sir.
Fine. Senator Ray is the committee thanks you. As chairman of the sexually explicit pronoun committee.
Neutral pronouns.
Neutral pronouns. I beg your pardon, sir.
I don't know anything about sexually explicitness. Looks like we aren't going to have time to put this bill out.
Do I hear a motion to pass Senate Bill 266 from committee?
I heard Senator Bonner.
It doesn't matter, Joe.
Fine. There is a motion to pass the bill from committee with individual recommendations. Is there any objection to that motion?
No.
Hearing none, the bill is passed from committee.
I'll be do not pass.
No, I won't.
You're on record.
Yeah, I am. Who's writing my name now?
I will. How do you spell the last name?
W-O-N-D-E-R-F-U-E-R.
Let we're running short of time, Senator Parr. You have a meeting to attend. We have our old friend the.
The only reason I'm putting no rec on this, Mr. Chairman, is
if it's your bill.
There is the possibility that we have made one error, and then if so, I'll have to do it on the floor. That is too long to take up.
To put on the floor.
Make the amendment on the floor.
Well, you should be more explicit. Let's briefly discuss Senate Bill 49, commercial fisheries. What there was concern about that when we last discussed it. Where's this real page?
I'm going to put this back around.
My feeling is if there are difficulties with it, the floor is a place to deal with this, rather than trying to bottle up with me. All right, that whoever's not a gentleman.
Well, I'd like to propose one minor amendment, Mr. Chairman, if you wouldn't mind.
Do you need all that title?
That is page on line 10, page 1 of line 10. It's 4 back to 2 again.
Okay, so he wants to move on the
building. 4 back to 2? What is it?
Line 4?
No, line 10, sir.
Change the failure news from...
I'm with you, Charlie.
It's back to 2 years ago.
There are apparently two votes for that amendment. Is there any other objection? Hearing none?
We'll show you guys.
That amendment is made, deleting the word 4 and inserting the word 2 as the law is presently. Is there a motion to pass this bill from committee?
So moved.
Moved, passed with individual recommendations.
Hold.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I'll withdraw that.
Hold.
Do you have a... Senator Ray.
What is your designation for fishery?
Specific year, specific area, specific species.
Then perhaps we should put that on line 16. However, failure to renew an entry permit in a year in which there is an administrative closure for the entire season for a specific fishery, here you just got to, it could be accommodated if you close one fishery in the state and the guy's got a permit for another fishery, it just doesn't make any difference. He don't pay it and he closed the fishery. See what you're saying?
Fishery.
You put specific fishery.
Fishery is defined in the act to mean a specific administrative.
Have you got that in the definition section?
In the act itself.
Okay. All right. All right. Put the word specific in there anyway.
There you go. Senator Ray,
Charlie. Put the word specific.
Senator Parr has withdrawn his motion to move the bill from committee. Senator Ray.
I would add the word specific in front of fishery on line 16.
Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment? Hearing none, that amendment is passed. Senator Parr?
One quick comment before I move past the law, Mr. Chairman, that is that I was talking to a legislator from a fishing district today, and he was talking about, in addition to his regular job, he's going to make $40,000 fishing this year. A friend of his made $200,000 in the herring fishery. I still like to see spread the wealth around a little more. I'll move past the bill out, Mr. Chairman, and read the recommendation.
Is there an objection to that motion? Hearing none, the bill is passed from committee with individual recommendations. If there are no other business come before the committee, judiciary is adjourned.